This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Happy 10th day of Christmas. This is the 10th day of Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy third day of the new year. And happy Epiphany, a little early. Epiphany's actually January 6th, but we are rolling all of those three together for a celebration today. A little more about Epiphany in a minute. But there's something about just after Christmas and just after New Year's, this week, that I find completely refreshing, that I just like to share with you. I don't know if you'll find it this way, but I do. You know how now the decorations, some of you may have already taken them down, but I usually wait until Epiphany or Twelfth Night, which is Tuesday, to take down the decorations, because that's the end of the Christmas season. But because it falls smack dab in the middle of a really busy work week for me, I'm going to do it this afternoon. And so, even though I love the decorations, about this time, everything starts to feel a little cluttered, right? Am I right about that? So I love to just take everything down, clean really well, make it all fresh for the new year. But today, what I've decided to do is to be very intentional in my prayer before I do it, asking God to clear away anything unlike the Christ child in my life, and to give me those eyes to see as I go through this new year. So I will begin. I'll put on some great music, and I'll start my little ritual, and I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it. And also, in remembering Epiphany, because the Epiphany story that we just heard in that gospel points to what's most important in our lives, because with all this holiday hubbub and the new year and our decorations, we really can get very distracted. And I see it in four ways. First of all, the story itself, right? You've heard the wise men, we've all heard it a million times. They see the star in the east, they seek the Lord, they seek the Messiah, they bring him gifts, they pay him homage. But the ways that they could be distracted are the same ways that we can be distracted. Take the star, for instance. So this star has been used over and over and over again, and it shines. I didn't turn the lights on, but there's lights on it, and little children have carried it this whole, you know, in all of our different services. And remember that the wise men were astrologers, it's thought. So they would have been very, very interested in why they were seeing what they were seeing in the night sky, rising in the east. They could have made that their focus, being astrologers. Just like over the centuries, really, there has been debates about what this star really probably was. And some people think it was a supernova, some people think that it was a comet, some people think it was this planetary conjunction of planets only seen every 1,000 years or so. We could get caught up in that, but that's not the focus, right? Second thing that we could get really distracted about are these gifts, because the gifts were amazing. And just like us, when we think we've got this amazing gift that we've spent a lot of time and we're giving it and we think it's just the most important thing and we give it, we can get lost in that instead of why we're giving it. And what the wise men brought were pretty amazing gifts. They brought gold, right? The gold. And they brought frankincense, and we use this in our services on Christmas Eve and light it, and we watch the smoke rise up, the frankincense lit, and sprinkle it on top of the coals, and then myrrh. A good friend of mine, who happens to be here, Koki, has a plethora of essential oils and knows a lot about them, and myrrh is still used today. The very expensive essential oil, even in those days. So these gifts that the wise men brought were pretty amazing, and they can teach us pretty amazing things. For instance, the gold can represent to us our time, our talent, our treasure. If we earned the money, right? It represents where we put our focus. If you look at your bank accounts, some people teach us, that's really teaches us a lot about what our priorities are, how we earn it, how we share it. That teaches us a lot. The frankincense represents our worship. You know, we watch the smoke rise, and it's frequently associated with divinity, getting in touch with God. So that can also teach us how are we doing that. And then the myrrh, and I just want to let a couple of you smell it, because this is amazing. What does that smell like? Like, what does it smell like to you? Like balsam, maybe? Like pine, kind of. And this myrrh was used for healing and also for anointing the bodies before burial. Today, it's used for lots and lots of different ailments. I looked it up, and I have a hurt toe. I even put some on my toe, thinking it might help. But we can learn from that, too, about the healing of our own lives. Maybe what we're finally willing to let go of in our lives to be healed, we can learn about that, too. So that can be a distraction if this is what we're focused on in this story. And it could have been for the wise men. Third thing they could have been distracted about was Herod. Right? They are snooping around in the city. The wise men see this star. They're trying to get information about where the Messiah is, because that's what they've put two and two together. They come into the city and they're asking around, where is this baby, this child, this new king of the Jews? And Herod gets wind of it and he calls them. He first consulted with the chief priests and the scribes, and they told him, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, of course, is where this child would have been born. He sends them, says, you go and you find out, and I'm going to pay them homage too. That's why I want you to go and find out. But if you weren't listening carefully to the gospel, Herod was frightened. He was frightened, and he was being deceitful. Because Caesar in Rome, the emperor, had empowered him to keep the status quo and to keep the power under control, his power. And if anything disrupted that, like these wise guys coming, that would have been a big problem for him. And so he, even if it took deceit, even if it took murder, which is really what Herod ended up doing then, he didn't hear back from the wise men. So for those 2 years, he didn't find any child, and he ordered all the male children under the age of 2 to be killed. So afraid was he. So they could have get all caught up with Herod, just like we can get all caught up with those terrorists of today. It's interesting that the wise men came from the area in our world that is the present day Iran and Iraq. Then it was called Babylon or Persia, Arabia. We can get all caught up in that. Certainly we're concerned about it, but not to let the fear get in the way of what our focal point needs to be in this life. Fourthly, and this might seem odd to you, but the distraction in our world can also be our devotion. Our devotion certainly could have been for them. They represented this ultimate interfaith dialogue, because the legend goes that they represent three different ethnicities, possibly even 3 different faiths, and they all came together to bow down and bend the knee to the child, to the Messiah. They come together in their devotion. They had to have a lot of courage. They had to have a lot of perseverance to come so far, up around the Fertile Crescent, down to Bethlehem, to try to seek out this Messiah, and they stuck with it, and they found him, and they bring him these gifts. So they could have got all distracted with that devotion, just like some of us thinking we're so pious and we have to do a certain thing and that the devotion is more important than what our focal point is to be. I know I've certainly been guilty of that in my life. Even that devotion is not the most important point. Important, yes. Just like following the light is important. Just like giving our gifts is important. Just like being aware of the Herods in our lives and letting go of those Herods, even our inner Herods of addiction or temptation or putting other people down or whatever it may be for you. Yeah, that's important too. And our devotion is important. But when all of that is taken away, and we take down the tree, and we take down all the decorations, what's left is the still point, the Christ child. That's the point. That Christ child and inviting the Christ child into our experience and then living it. Living it. That's the still point. That's the focus. And then in that experience, we'll realize, just like the wise men did, when they experienced the Christ child, they had a transformation. And what did they do? They went home a different way. Because we are never the same again once you experience the Christ. Thomas Merton knew it. He wrote this little poem. We could speak of the wise men, we could speak of the star, we could speak of Herod, but there's more by far. For the still point, you see, the center of bliss, is the Christ child who lies right here in our midst. We're always searching, it seems, for some faraway goal, when what we need most is deep in our soul. In our soul. That was the promise. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So finding this Christ child within us takes our dedication, our devotion of taking the time in prayer to ask, to seek, to knock, and then to get still and wait for that Christ child, to make the Christ child aware in your life as only he will for you. Because it's going to be different for all of us. But we've got to be willing to take the time, to take the time. Because if all we're focusing on is everything else, it's all just window dressing. And it's all just stuff. It's all just stuff. So basic is this connecting to the Christ child within that we cover it in Episcopal 101, a different discipline each week, to get us into a practice, something that feels comfortable in doing that on a daily basis. It's crucial to our walk with Christ, my friends. It's crucial that we take that time. It's so important. If you want to do that, please do consider it, even if you want to just come to learn that. The other two things that I would invite you to do is when you come forward each week today, every Sunday, and you put your hands out to receive communion, know that you are saying yes to experiencing the Christ child within you. Know that. And then at the end of the service, when you give the peace to one another and you say, the peace of Christ be with you, really believe it. Even if you don't understand it, even if your own faith is faltering, something happens in that moment. It's not just a handshake or how are you doing. It's powerful. It's powerful. So hopefully we will be not distracted by the many things, but open our hearts to be disciples, disciplined and activated in the light and the experience of Christ in our relationship, in our everyday. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, clear our minds and activate our hearts so that we may find your presence hidden in ourselves. May we unveil the mystery of Christ with us and work toward the true restoration of the whole world in your image. Let your light shine in our hearts so that we may always know the truth of your love. Amen.